it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it turns out, Lee, that Americans do want to do the jobs illegal immigrants are doing. At Hyundai plant raid, and one of the lies that they tell in Washington is illegals do the jobs Americans won't, but the Hyundai raid proves they are taking the jobs Americans want. This is incredible. Got South Korea opening this plant and then just casually using illegal immigrant labor. Korean illegal immigrant labor.
South Korean.
Yeah, South Korean.
Sorry.
450 illegal alien workers arrested at the Hyundai battery plant site in Georgia yesterday.
Well, that raid was earlier. But yeah.
Yeah, I was just reading that from the headline. But oh. Yeah, obviously. So that's one of the lies they tell. So this was very celebrated in Georgia. This was going to be bring skilled jobs in. There's going to be a lot of money, all of that. And somehow, Lee, these jobs just never seem to go to Americans. They just go to everyone else under the sun, whether they're bringing them in legally under an HB1 visa, or in this case, they are illegal immigrants who either flew in here and overstayed their visas or they came over the border. It's like any way we can to get jobs in America in the hands of people who are not Americans. That's what was going on in this country. And it's a mess because Trump had to be very careful what he said here.
Yeah.
Because this plant is part of a multi-billion dollar expansion project in the United States. So he's trying to kind of condemn this, like, no, you don't get to bring your own illegal immigrant workers in here and work them under the table. But at the same time, they have other investments. Mm-hmm. I mean, at a summit last month, South Korea pledged $150 billion in U.S. investments, including $26 billion from Hyundai Motors. And so that's kind of a...
Yeah, it's a big deal.
It's a big deal, but again, makes you kind of wonder, okay, we got all these plants in here. We got all these factories. That's good for business. Are Americans even going to work in them, or will this be somebody else who's working in them?
Well, I believe that there's something more going on with this that has a lot to do with the international situation between the U.S. and South Korea, because there's been a leadership change there in South Korea. The most recent leader has been deposed, basically, because of a scandal within his government where, you know, he made a pretty big political mistake. And now there is a leader in there that is trying to align himself more closely with Beijing. And I think that's got something to do with why that raid took place there, because of the South Korean workers that were there for that plant.
Regardless, this plant was sold to the people of Georgia.
Yes. Say, oh, absolutely.
We're going to give it, you know, tax breaks. It's going to be a great deal. Mm-hmm. We'll get you some jobs. Yeah. And Americans just never seem to get the jobs.
Yeah. Yeah. Despite whatever the political machinations are. No, that's exactly right. And that's the issue.
Yeah. I mean, look, and a lot of people kind of wondering, there's been a lot of trends online about, you know, on X about H-1B visas, particularly Indian H-1B visas. And the reason for that is because the people who just gathered at the White House, including Microsoft, just fired almost 9,000 people, mostly STEM workers, turned around and listed their exact jobs in the H-1B Indian visa pipeline.
Yeah.
That is highly illegal. You cannot do that. The way that the law works is if there are Americans applying for the job, before you can get an H-1B visa, you have to interview them and you have to have a good legal reason for turning them down. In other words, they're not qualified. They've got a criminal record, something like that, before you can offer the visa, right? It is completely illegal to fire Americans and then list their jobs for 30% less across the board for H-1B visas from India. And here's the problem with this that Trump faces. He's got all those tech titans. They were at the White House.
Yeah.
Do you want us? You want them supporting us in the midterms? You want them supporting Democrats? I mean, he's walking a thin line here.
Yeah.
But as people online are pointing out, we have laws against this. This is illegal. The Trump DOJ needs to get in the game and start prosecuting these companies. You cannot fire 8,000 Americans and then turn around and list their jobs on the H-1B visa program. That is illegal under the law, but they do it because they can get away with it. And I think that South Korea thought they could get away with this, too. I think Hyundai thought they could get away with this. No one's going to touch us. No one's going to ask any questions. They're so glad we have the factory here, and we'll just, you know, break the law.
Well, I mean, that's the way you do business in China. I realize that China is not South Korea, but in that area of the world, in the Pacific Rim, that's how things work. I mean, it's a lot more overt than the covert type of bribery we get here in this country.
Yeah. So that that happened over the weekend. Also, Democrats going wild. And I knew they would. I said this on Friday. Trump now has Democrats defending cartel terrorists. And even Representative Jerry Nadler over the weekend saying Trump should be arrested. He's obviously a Democrat congressman.
Yeah, and now this newest outrage where they just bombed a speedboat, which they asserted was carrying terrorists. So you're the judge, jury, and executioner when you're not in a time of war. For that, the president ought to face criminal charges.
Criminal charges.
For sinking a drug boat. Yeah, listen, I get the criticism. I understand it, but I think, as usual, Nadler's going way too far, and then people complain about Trump saying, putting out mean tweets. So,
yeah. Again, all of these people were fine with Barack Obama droning a 16-year-old minor along with his dad.
They were American citizens.
Yes, who they accused of being terrorists. So that is literally the same thing Trump is doing here. He's accused them of being terrorists, and they bombed them. But now all of a sudden the Democrat Party is outraged. Here's Nancy Pelosi.
I think they can get away with this. God knows what they are going to do next. So that's what we're looking to right now. And there was reason to believe that this was not a legal action.
This was not a legal action. Lee, if you want to understand everything that is going on here and why they are going so wild about this, I opened the show with this and I've talked about it many, many times on my Battleground America podcast. Again, this will drop your jaw. It is a Fox News article. It is from 2014, and it's called America's Third World. The U.S. cut a deal with the Sinaloa cartel. And what happened was there is a top-ranking cartel boss out of Mexico by the name of Vicente Zambada Niebla. His attorney filed a brief in a case against him saying, listen, I did this with the permission of the U.S. government. I was armed by the FBI. Wait, what? Yeah, the FBI armed Sinaloa. What? The FBI protects its trading routes, drugs and humans into the country. This was all done under Barack Obama. The attorney even said that the U.S. helped, are you ready for this, finance and arm the Sinaloa cartel through Operation Fast and Furious. Wait, we pay for cartels to exist? Uh-huh. And they bring the voters, the future voters. Yes, and the drugs and the kids. What the heck? Well, when this happened, Fox News went to the FBI, Lee. This happened in 2011, but it was reported in 2014. And said, so, wait, is this true? You're financing, arming Sinaloa? You're protecting their drug routes in the U.S.? Like, what the heck? You're supposed to be a law enforcement agency. And apparently the DEA was in on it, too. They admitted they were doing it. They've never stopped. They may have now, under Cash Patel. I don't know. They never stopped. That's how all those people got here, the 12 million. And you can understand what Trump is fighting here. And what the FBI said, and I don't believe this, Lee, I think this is a crock, but what they said was, well, we armed and trained them and protected their drug trade and their human trafficking trade so they would rat out their rival cartel members to us. We could take them down. Well, wouldn't they do that for free? Don't they want y'all to take out their rivals? I mean, you don't have to arm them and fund them. They were doing fine without you. So what I think we're looking at here is a partnership between the Democrat Party, the cartels, specifically Sinaloa, and the FBI and the DEA. And what was the big bust last week? Largest ever drug bust in terms of like precursor chemicals, 700,000 pounds. Judge Jeanine Pirro announced it. Well, what was that about? That was coming from Shanghai. Maduro's people were moving it to where? Sinaloa. Same drug routes. So what Trump's done, Lee, is he has puts a military on the border. They can't move that stuff through anymore. That forces them out into international waters and kaboom. They're very easy targets. They're much harder to hit if they're in, you know, a group of 1,500 illegals coming over, led by Trende Aragua. So this is war. And what I'm curious about is, have they disassembled the FBI's rat lines into the country in partnership with Sinaloa? Because they needed somebody to move their people. They need their future replacement voters. They needed somebody, and you know, to say to the cartels, okay, you bring the replacement voters, you're going to profit from that, but we're going to make sure you make money too on the kids and the drugs. So we're going to let you do all that. We're going to protect your routes. So if you want to read it, and it's jaw-dropping stuff, but very mainstream. I mean, again, the FBI admitted they did it. America's, and they were still doing it. America's third war, the U.S. cut a deal with Sinaloa cartel. By the way, Lee, this never stopped. It's just ongoing Democrat policy. So when you're looking at, you know, Trump hitting who is doing this, again, it's China. It's, you go to the top of the crop, it's Maduro, it's Venezuela. This is him decimating their rat lines into the country. Well, it's really the Democrat Party and China's rat lines. Democrat Party, China knows Democrat Party in charge. They're going to rule the country. And we're seeing that in New York, where even the New York Times is admitting, hey, China is beginning to take over the Democrat Party primary process and control it in these local New York City elections. That was 2 weeks ago. So I've just tied it all together, the war that we are in. And it's not a small war at all. And Trump's got 3 years to take all of this infrastructure out. And that's, folks, that is why they are going into Chicago. That is why they're going into these Democrat cities. Don't kid yourself. It's not just because, well, we want to bring the crime rate down all of a sudden. They are going in after these cartel bosses who are being protected by the Democrats, and they are rounding them up because they're like cockroaches. You know, they, as soon as Democrats get, you know, presidential power again, they'll come back out in the light, start operating again. Democrats protecting him then. Now, and this is why you've got Tom Homan, when he's talking about going into Chicago, what is he talking about? He's not talking about it in terms of crime. He's talking about it in terms of illegal immigration. They are taking these networks down. And they're going all the way back to Venezuela to do it. Things...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not,
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him. And they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right. And the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We've never seen before, first time ever, I don't know if you know this season, every single NFL game this season will be available on one streaming platform or another. So that's 272 regular season games. In fact, there are 20 NFL games this season that will only be found on streaming. So that is a first. That's from Deadline NFL Tackles Linear TV with every game available online this season for the first time ever. Yeah, to me, the only surprising thing is they didn't go to this model a couple of years ago. I mean, this is how money is now made for, you know, broadcasting events, you know, entertainment, movies, series, whatever. All right. Number four. This is fascinating to me. Number four, biggest story in America right now. I can see that on the very expensive app that we pay a lot of money for. So we can know what you care about. It's not available to the public. Number four, here's the headline. Chilling video shows moments before Ukrainian refugee was, she was so beautiful, was stabbed to death on the Charlotte light rail line. And it is, I mean, it's so shocking. She just sits down. She's just worked a shift at a pizza place. She's, you know, you could tell she's small bone, would never have a chance against this guy. He's sitting behind her the whole time. He is a repeat felon, convict, arrested over 14 times. Of course, he is out on no bail because that's the Democrat way. Democrats, i.e. criminals, they consider all criminals to be Democrats, are not impeded in any way from going back in the public. And out of nowhere, he's sitting on the light rail line behind her. She just sits in front of him. She's not paying attention. She's on her phone. He just stands up, hauls up, and just swings down. He just viciously swings down with that knife. Number four story in the country. Now, here's where this gets interesting. So we can see the hits, the clicks, the likes. People are sharing it. People are talking about it. It's huge. Did you go to the sources? Which articles are being shared? What is charting this on this app that's showing us this is fourth biggest story in the entire country right now? Who's reporting it? Well, Fox News is. Who else is reporting it? Epoch Times, Daily Caller, and the Hindustan Times. Wait, of India? Yes, one of their top stories today. In the Hindustan Times? Yes. They're deep into it. What was DeCarlos Brown Jr.? He's the knifer. What was DeCarlos Brown Jr.'s motive behind the Charlotte killing of Irina Zartuska? Did he suffer from schizophrenia? What's interesting about this, the Hindustan Times has this on the cover. Because it's so shocking when you see the video. Okay. American media. Zero stories by the Associated Press, PBS, New York Times, NPR, Wall Street Journal, BBC, CNN, Washington Post, Reuters, and MSNBC. Zero, 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 zero. Well, let me get straight. The Hindustan Times has it on the front page. Uh-huh. And they're like in India. Yeah, they're in India. And they think this is a big story. Uh-huh. Because they don't care if Democrats win or lose. Uh-huh. But the mainstream media has blacked this out. Has blacked it out. Folks, let me explain how this works. We've done this a long time, okay? Women murdered, raped, and really people murdered due to Democrat crime or open borders policies are always canceled, even if they were Democrat voters in good standing. If you embarrass the party by dying in a manner that defies the narrative, you simply canceled. You don't exist. You have embarrassed the party. You've defied the narrative. We can't have that. Orwell understood. It's his playbook that they're following. Okay, how extreme is this getting overnight? The left is canceling Irina Zarutska for the crime of embarrassing them by dying. It is so bad. You could still see this, at least you could right before the show starts. Go to Wikipedia, put her name in, Irina Zarutska. Again, Ukrainian refugee, came here to escape the war. Putin didn't kill her, but she couldn't survive a blue city. And it says at the top, there's a red notice. An editor has nominated this article for deletion off Wikipedia. You are welcome to participate in the deletion discussion on whether or not to retain it. Why? She has embarrassed the Democrat Party. She has proven their policies do not work with her blood. She's a bad person and she should be canceled. This is a freak show. Folks, if you see the video, it is so shocking. Did you see it? Oh my gosh, it terrifies me and my daughter going out in the world like this. And I keep telling her, you got to avoid blue cities. It's not worth it. You can't make it. He stabs her. He's very casual, but kills her. She's fighting for her life. And the people on the light rail line haven't like completely noticed it, especially the ones where it happened behind them. They start to notice he's kind of, he tries to walk over to the exit and he can't get off because the light rail line's still going. He's dripping her blood all over the place. And people start to notice like, that blood, what is it? What's going on? Democrat policies. Democrat policies. Folks, this guy committed grand larceny, robberies, armed robberies, seven of them over 7 years, almost all of the charges dismissed. I used to cover crime in Charlotte. If you ever hear me say I was a crime reporter, that's where I covered it. And that's what I covered, was that Democrats were doing this in Charlotte 15 years ago. That what they would do to keep Democrats on the voter rolls, and many of them were criminals, is they would simply dismiss the charges. Charlotte had one of the highest per capita dismissal rates in the entire country. And so I coined the term misdemeanor homicide. That was when you did your first homicide. They didn't think anything of it. They bonded you out. And usually while awaiting trial on that first homicide, you'd commit your second homicide or a series of armed robberies. It was no big deal. They'd turn you right back out. I mean, Charlotte was on the cutting edge of Democrats doing this for a long time. But check this out, okay? New York Times, you go to New York Times right now. You put in George Floyd in their search engine. 5,897 mentions in the New York Times, George Floyd. Trayvon Martin, 1,100. Daniel Penny, who committed the unpardonable offense of getting in the way of a demented, delusional Democrat who wanted to hurt or kill subway passengers. Well, being white, because that was Daniel Penny's real crime, being white and trying to save those poor people, many of whom, by the way, were black. But nobody cares about the victims. It's all about the Democrat voter, i.e. the perp. Daniel Penny, 100 articles on Daniel Penny as they try to take him down, put him in prison because he choked out the perp who died. Although it appeared he was drug overdosing like George Floyd did. It wasn't that cop that killed George Floyd. Everybody knows that, except Democrat media. Do you think New York Times has even mentioned Irina Zarudzka? Nope, zero. Zero. But here's the thing. You can't hide it forever. You can't hide it forever. One account, End Woke, and Wokeness on X alone, 50 million views. It just hit 50 for that story. And yet mainstream media thinks they can black it out. They don't have the power they used to. One account, 50 million. Americans are outraged by this. So let's get this straight. A white man restrains a black man who has a very long criminal history, who is acting erratic and threatening to kill people on the subway, and there's national outrage. Over 100 articles just from the New York Times covering Daniel Penny and advocating for him to go to prison for interfering with a vicious criminal who is mentally ill. Yes, why? Race. But a black man brutally stabs a quiet white girl minding her own business, no national outrage, and she is punished with cancellation. But if we didn't have X, would we even know about this? The answer is no, we wouldn't. We wouldn't know about this. A lot of folks reacting to this. Text writes, Terry, it's called restorative justice. You're allowed to commit crimes. Another text writes, hey, Tara, the Charlotte stabbed was, thinking about the woman, was looking at her phone before he attacked her. Watch for the left to claim she was watching something that triggered him. The texter writes, love the show, but y'all have got to get this station fixed. I know, the signals are a mess. Hey, listen, we had one of our two transmitters go down, and we should, I am told, within the week, have that back up, so that's going to help the signal in the cars. And then I know the streaming's been off. I am really sorry. You can also, if our streaming is off, you can always try me on X. I stream live there. Try my Rumble channel, Tara Servatius. Or, you know, obviously always start with our app, which is the Odyssey app, or you can stream us live on our website, 989WORD. It's 989WORD. If the streaming is not working there, then you can try all of my social media. I'm always streaming there too. I am really sorry. I'm always bugging the management and they're tired of hearing from me about the sound. And I know they are working hard to try to get it fixed. We're doing everything that we can. Hopefully in about a week or so, it'll be better. So I apologize profusely. Please just hang in there with us. I've done everything I can. I think I'm getting on the management's nerves, actually. I think they don't want to hear from me anymore. So you've been heard. I've been heard. I've forwarded your, you know, messages and texts to them. And we're doing everything that we can. Sometimes it just takes a while to get stuff in the mail and parts and things we need. So thanks for hanging in there, folks.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just a simple question. How many jobs were created last month in the United States of America? One, despite our trillions of dollars of spending, we simply can't answer. We're told there's a jobs apocalypse. It's terrible. U.S. economy added just 22,000 jobs in August. Is that true? I don't know. Who knows? Who calculates that, by the way? Well, the chick that got fired by Trump, who was a Biden appointee, she was doing kind of an abysmal job. I mean, she originally told us what May job estimate was, 150,000, basically. Well, that was slashed by 125,000 down to just 19,000. So which is it? Is it 19,000, or you're just off by 125,000 jobs? Is it 19,000? Is it closer to 150? Which is it? She says she got June wrong, too. She's the one running the program. Yeah, it was originally 133,000, but then she realized it was only 14,000 jobs. Combined, that's 258,000 jobs. That's the difference between, wow, Trump's doing great creating jobs, and wow, we're in a jobs apocalypse. I mean, which is it? Oh, we're never going to know. Because he made these Biden appointees who calculate these jobs numbers mad. See, he fired her. She went out the door. The left was outraged. But guess who replaced her? Another Biden appointee. Yeah, from Biden's Economic Advisory Council, who was just next in line to get the job. Well, wait a minute. Wasn't Trump going to replace that guy with some appointee? Yeah, but we have Republicans blocking Trump's nomination, so we can't get EJ Antoni in there anytime soon. John Thune, maybe he'd get around to it by Christmas. We have desperately got to go. Folks, we got to go inside the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is a Democrat, bureaucrat-controlled agency. By the way, the people doing these jobs numbers are Biden appointees. And they're mad because one of them got fired. Do you believe? Here's the thing. Everybody's trying to analyze this. How? How do you get? I don't know. I don't know how many jobs. I have no idea. I know this, though. 1.8 million jobs under Joe Biden were fake. Same people. And once you go back and look at Biden's record, almost all of the jobs actually created were government jobs. There were very few private sector jobs. And once you cleared away all the fake jobs, we had entire quarters where we didn't create jobs. And American people felt that. So is this just a continuation? I don't know. Nobody does. But I can tell you this, Trump's job numbers are going to look funky for a while. Why? Because not only is the federal government not hiring, aside from what's going on with ICE, and they've got the first 10,000 tranche, yes, that they're taking applications for. They haven't hired them yet. Basically, 16,000 jobs shrank. Government payrolls shrank by 16,000. So this is part of the way that Biden, to the extent he created any jobs at all, covered this up, was the expansion of government payrolls at the state level because of federal, you know, subsidies, but also because of federal government. Instead, private sector payrolls rose by 38,000, but government payrolls shrank by 16,000. So not only are they not hiring, they're shrinking. And that's going to whack Trump's job numbers out as we shrink the federal government. But I don't know how to react. Look, anybody who tells you this means this or this means that, I don't know that the numbers are real. It's really hard to say if they're real. The Kansas City Star offering this dismal new job numbers might be a sign of Trump's successes, not failures. We'll have that coming up next. We've obviously got a long way to go. 22,000 jobs created. Of course, those are Biden nominees telling us that. Just 22,000 jobs created. So, I mean, are they mad? I don't know. I don't know if I believe these numbers. Editorial in the Kansas City Star has an interesting take, though. This might be a sign Trump's policies are working. Why? The main source of new jobs under Joe Biden was federal government, and after that, state government. It wasn't private sector jobs. Trump's already created monthly an average of 10 times more private sector jobs than Joe Biden did. But when you're cutting federal jobs and state jobs, that's not good for employment. That's why the numbers look bad. Kansas City Star says, so far under Trump, federal government employment's down 97,000 jobs. Good for him. Or 15,000 jobs in just August. It's going to keep going down as those who've already been fired but are getting severances are still counted as employed. So that's part of it. Total 330,000 people broomed out of the federal government. And that's just going to cause massive churn. It just is. State government employment in August was down 13,000. That reflects, they say, cuts to state government grants. That comes as, those numbers come as part of the government that Trump likes, like ICE, are on an unprecedented hiring spree. They just haven't done a lot of it yet because they just got their funding. But they're saying a big part of the reason state jobs are actually being cut is that the Trump administration's cut tens of billions of dollars, maybe hundreds of billions of dollars, in nonprofit grants on which the federal government spends a fortune. So this goes to states or nonprofits associated with states. So saying religious grant making, civil, civic, professional, and similar organizations, their employment fell 3,000 in August as these federal grants dry up. So you're cutting federal jobs, you're cutting billions of dollars of grant money that goes to states, And nonprofits. But these, this is just liberal employment. This is make work in a lot of cases. In recent months, Kansas City Star reports, federal governments rounded up tens of thousands of often employed undocumented immigrants all over the country in industries from construction and agriculture to transportation and manufacturing. That's a net negative for job growth, too, because they're just, they had a job. Now they're not here. Employment among Hispanics was down 15,000 jobs in August, according to the new BLS data. So they're thinking a lot of that's illegal immigrants. Plus, we've had more than a million self-deport since Trump took office. So those jobs are going away, too. And given the new higher wages, since the labor force isn't artificially diluted, some of those jobs may not have been replaced by employers. It's just they have to pay people an actual market wage. They don't want to do it. They want the slave labor from the illegal immigrants. And then, of course, still unknown is what Trump's tariffs, the impact that's having, just companies having a hard time planning for the future because they get whipsawed around a lot. So Kansas City Star acknowledges that. But basically saying, look, and I said this last week, when you have people who are Biden appointees who are angry at Trump coming up with these job numbers, I don't believe them to begin with. They're very hard to analyze. They seem very fake. When most of the jobs you claim were created, then you turn around and say they weren't, over 100,000 for 2 months, over 250,000 for 2 months straight. We said they were real, but they weren't created. Oh, now we're in a jobs apocalypse. Well, is it a boom or apocalypse? You can't count. But yeah, when you're deporting as many people as Trump is, or they're self-deporting and you're cutting these massive numbers of government jobs and defunding nonprofits, you're going to get big job loss. And that's going to show up in the job numbers, whether they're true or not, I guess.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.